This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. Hour 2, G-Back Nation, 105.3 The Fan. We are live in Whataburger in Grand Prairie off of right next to the Walmart. Flagtober 2024 closing ceremonies here, the final appearance of the year, and I have to report, as of now, we're out of G-Bag Nation flags, and that's a wrap. They're all gone. We brought every single one we had remaining, and there was one of the biggest rushes we've seen in Flagtober history. They've all been claimed. So thank you to everybody. You know, of course, Flagtober, an annual tradition here on the show, on the radio station, where we go all around North Texas, hand you a flag, just a small appreciation.
You talk about how you got that started. Did you ever, when you were doing that with the little flags to start, did you ever dream it was this big? Like, you know, we had a lady came in today, was really nice. She's down there at the lake.
And Deborah.
And she was saying she collects them all.
Yeah.
But did you ever believe that people would travel around and grab them and then collect them all and be a part of that? Or was it something that you just kind of thought, like, this is just something kind of nice to do?
Lucius might remember better than me, but yeah, I think that was the vision.
Yeah,
you know,
that everybody would want one of these.
Yeah, you know, and maybe I didn't know that it would go year to year with a different flag.
Right.
You know, for a while, at the very beginning, we just wanted some kind of flag, so we had the tiny ones that, you know, we could get.
I remember going
out
to events. I remember going to events, and like you and Walt, you guys would carry a flag in.
Oh yeah,
that
yeah.
was like it was almost like it was like you get when you guys showed up, it's like, oh well, here are the G-Bag guys.
Yeah,
they're all rolling in with the flag.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and we've had a lot of those moments, you know, throughout the history. I can't believe it's been going on for, shoot, I guess 12 or 13 years
now.
That's
amazing. Congratulations on that, man.
Well, thanks to everybody for helping make it big. You know, had a lot of great, you know, teammate moves here from you guys at the radio station over the years to help bring it to life. And here's Wolchuk with your NFL news of the day.
Thank you very much. It is something that can be historical this weekend with Jameis Winston.
Is that right, Wolchuk?
Any history with Jameis, I think we're just rooting for right now as he's taken over as the starting quarterback for Cleveland. He's the chance, back-to-back weeks, to be the first player in history of NFL football to defeat a pair of brothers as head coaches, as he knocked off John Harbaugh and the Ravens this week. Who are they playing?
Ooh.
Ah.
Jim
Harbaugh and the Chargers.
Whoa, Jim.
I encourage
the sibling gauntlet.
Anybody who hasn't seen Jameis Winston going through a drive-thru with his family to go and look that video up online, it's incredible and it'll make your day.
I just think, you know, the thing with Jameis Winston that's so incredible is, like, there's a bar where you can be good enough to be better than a lot of the guys that are going to be starting, but the team doesn't believe for some reason that you're, quote, franchise quarterback material. But you're definitely one of the best 32.
Yeah.
You know, so there is a willingness to draw the line somewhere. Like, well, we don't believe in you. But then there's, like, 10 guys better than Jameis Winston who I think are in a similar situation.
Mm-hmm.
And teams are just lining up to give them, like, market-setting money. I think there is an awareness in this league. I just don't think they draw the line deep enough or high enough. I'm not sure.
Deep enough, high enough.
It's funny how front offices don't believe in him, but everybody he's ever played with, his teammates, believe in him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you just talk to his teammates,
everybody enjoys him.
Everybody
he's a fun
loves
guy to be around.
Being around the guy.
Well, the problem is, I mean, he turns the ball over at an alarming range, but
he should have lost the game to Kyle Hamilton.
Oh, no, Kyle Hamilton looked like me trying to catch the ball on side yard football.
Yeah, if you had no hands and no eyes.
He's proven over the course of an NFL season, if he's your starter.
Span like there, a little span forward.
You're held back
a little bit. Yeah.
But he's a blast to watch. Blast to watch. Now, Trayvon Diggs did not practice today. He talked to reporters, said he's dealing with some tightness in his calf. Quote, it was a little sore coming out of the game. Probably one of the plays I got hit or something. I'm getting treatment and working through it.
I think he got it kicking Mike Leslie's ass.
That's what it was?
I think so.
They just went ahead and
a little bit of a reach.
Boom.
You know, he's out of balance.
He did give him the can of D's nuts, if you missed it. And they went ahead and buried the hatchet there. I thought that was a really, really great move there from Trayvon Diggs. Now, yesterday, towards the end of the show, we talked about a potential arrest for Jameson Williams of the Lions.
Potential. But we ruled that it didn't get to a full arrest, right?
It wasn't a full arrest, but now
the Wayne carrying a weapon?
County, yes, prosecutor's office is reviewing a warrant request for the arrest of Jameson Williams. The warrant is requested on a charge of carrying a concealed weapon in a motor vehicle, which was issued later last week by the Detroit Police Department. So we'll have to monitor this deal. But Jameson Williams already serving a two-game suspension for the PEDs, and now you might have an arrest on your hands, which is, I mean, this is just silly.
He said
you're on a Super Bowl potential team here, man.
It'll be all right because the NFL won't do anything
until next year,
like the Rashee Rice stuff or like what we just saw with Sam Williams. So for this run, he's still going to be all right.
He'll be okay this year.
Yeah.
You're right. Big picture, nothing to worry about.
He's team-oriented for this year.
He understands. Not team-oriented, I guess, is Anthony Richardson.
Shane Steichen. No, not again.
Yeah, Shane Steichen came out today.
He tapped out of practice today?
He didn't tap out of practice, but he did say that Joe Flacco is going to be their quarterback for the foreseeable future, remainder of the season. Anthony Richardson is going to be riding the pine there on the bench. And he was not really overly optimistic when asked about would he be their starter moving forward, like next year possibly. He's like, we'll see. I can't predict the future. I kind of think Anthony Richardson might be Dunsky there in Indianapolis.
Yeah, well, Chris Ballard, our GM, might be right along with him if that's the case.
Hey, you know, I think it's worth a shot to take a lot of these super talented guys coming out of college, see if it can work, and I applaud the Colts for doing that and for moving on, you know, when it's obvious. And the guy's got to give you some reason to believe.
Is this one of those deals now, Chief, when I talk about getting rid of a quarterback, you're going to remind me of Anthony Richardson?
Well, Eric was Richardson guy.
Yeah, that was I was on Anthony Richardson.
No, but I'm just going to say, no, when it comes down to, hey, you know, hey, just you want to get rid of your quarterback, look what could happen to you. You know, that is that going to be the new poster child for that? Any like, you know, when you sit there and you say, well, you know, let's just move on from our guy.
Oh, and because you may end up drafting Anthony Richardson.
You may drafting Anthony Richardson.
Sure, sure. Yeah, well, I mean, to be fair, there's a laundry list of guys that fall into that particular
category. But he's going to be the new one, right?
He's definitely at the front of the line right now, topical. So we'll be pointing to that one. But I do think
it used to be like our guy like Joey Harrington or Blake Bortles or those kind of guys.
Jamarcus Russell.
It used to be, now he's taken over for all those dudes.
Yeah, and then maybe we'll see a reclamation project and he's Sam Darnold in 5 years or Geno Smith in 5 years or Baker Mayfield in 5 years. I mean, it's very interesting the way this quarterback stuff is shaking out right now. But even more so, like some of the quotes, like James Boyd, who covers the Colts, says Anthony Richardson says that Steichen didn't necessarily explain why he won't be starting anymore. And then Michael Pittman Jr., the wide receiver, said he found out about the QB change through social media. So it's not like Steichen stood up and stood on it. A lot of people are alleging like this is a top-down Jim Irsay, I don't want to look at this guy playing anymore.
I kind of feel like
just tapped out.
Yeah, I kind of feel like this is Jim Irsay. I really do. Because like I say, Chris is fighting for his job up there, the GM. So, you know, it might be a situation.
Yeah, they got a chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah, either change this guy or I'm going to fire you too mid-season. Get ready, you know.
Yeah. We'll see if Joe Flacco is able to get them there to the postseason. But
he's got a history.
He does. And they are better off right now with Joe Flacco quarterbacking than Anthony Richardson. But it is sad to see a young man's career and it's going down this path. But you're right. Maybe ultimately he ends up going to another team and he's able to resurrect his career later on down the line. That's got to be the hope.
Fourth round pick, 2025. Cowboys? Anybody interested?
Make the Trey Lance trade?
Maybe Jim Lance.
Anybody interested?
Swapsky, right? Mm-hmm. We'll take on the contract.
That's classic.
We joked about the Texans yesterday, like maybe exploring a wide receiver trade. Deontay Johnson would have been really, really fun there after the sad Stephon Diggs injury. But today it's real. There are reports that they are looking into adding a wide receiver, according to ESPN. You've got Darius Slayton from the Giants, Kendrick Bourne of the Patriots, KJ Osborne, Jacoby Myers of the Raiders. Maybe even they can call the Jets, try and get some Davante Adams action. Who the hell knows? But Houston on the market is right now. They're looking at Tank Dell, Xavier Hutchinson, and John Mechie III, former Alabama Crimson Tide, as their receivers as they wait for Nico Collins to come back healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I think their offensive coordinator needs to be better, and their offensive line is, I mean, even Laremy Tunsil doesn't look like Laremy Tunsil. The offensive line has been problematic for them. They definitely need another receiver now with the injuries, and hopefully Collins comes back as quickly as possible for them. So I get it, but they have other issues that are preventing them from being the same type offense that
they
were.
I hope they keep the issues up because they got Dallas here in a few.
Yeah, it's coming down the pipe. Yeah.
That's a big game. Yeah, that's a coin flip game.
Yeah, it could be.
Monday Night Football. Speaking of Monday Night Football, did you guys see what they teased this past Monday night for the Cowboys-Bengals game?
Yes, dude.
My gosh, we're doing a Simpsons deal. So ESPN, Disney, The Simpsons, and the NFL are going to premiere The Simpsons Fun Day Football on Monday, December 9th. Cowboys, Joe Burrow, and the Bengals on Monday Night Football. So the game's going to be transformed in real time into the iconic Simpsons world using Sony's Beyond Sports technology and next-gen stats. The fully immersive fan experience will be played at Adams Stadium in Springfield. And according to a release, Bart will apparently be Team Bengals, while Homer is going to be supporting Team Cowboys.
Oh.
I kind of wanted Bart.
You wanted Bart?
I wanted Bart.
You didn't want Homer?
He's too old.
I wanted this. I wanted like one of the Smoking Sisters. You know that those guys. Like,
yeah.
Those,
I always thought you were a big Lisa fan.
Well, Lisa's really smart. I like
they're
her.
Doing the sideline reports, right?
Yeah,
they are.
I think that
might be
Marge and Lisa. I think are doing the sideline stuff.
But Marge's like sisters. They're always like smoking, and you know, they always got.
They probably worked at the Waffle House there in town, even though they never addressed it, as far as I know.
It's amazing.
Yeah, but I don't know. They're putting that on ESPN Plus. They just had the worst disaster ever, ratings wise, with ESPN Plus on Monday night when they did the dual header. It was Cardinals and Chargers. I think it was. Is that the one that was on?
It was.
And it was like nobody watched it.
And it was a bad game. It wasn't very entertaining.
And is this getting people? I don't know. Like, is the crossover of football and Simpsons fans so much that this is going to be a draw?
I guess they must have had enough good ratings when it comes to the Nickelodeon bits that they've been doing with the simulcast that they think that this will work. And maybe it will. I mean, they're also going to put it on Disney
Plus. Around like 40 years.
If they could just throw it on the channel, but you got to pull up your ESPN Plus 86? Deal and like
instead just make the broadcast and totally the Simpsons broadcast, see how it is.
I think you
like
just
a
have
cartoon.
Yeah, you put Hank Azaria in the booth with Aikman and with Buck, and you let him just rattle it off. He did the baseball play-by-play show, Brock Meyer. Yeah. He's probably got a little football thing to him. He could do some play-by-play, and he can mix up the voices.
I saw an interview one time where a guy interviewed all the characters together, and he asked questions, and then as he asked the question, that character had to comment. And it's amazing the number of guys and gals that have dual roles on that show. Mm-hmm. Like two different characters they have to play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But to listen to them like the human, and then to hear their voice of like Marge or
whoever,
what they do, and answering the question was like fascinating.
I bet that was great.
It looks like Aaron Rodgers has found something new to get into.
Hello, DMT. Darkness, my old.
I don't know. Did he hear Broadus during the cocaine Aggie segment?
He might be dabbling in that. That might be the next thing if they lose again tomorrow night. He said he found the fountain of youth in a new cayenne pepper water drink. Said Thomas Morstead, the punter, gave him a little fountain of youth that he's been taking for a while. All legal, of course, says Rodgers. He's been taking like cayenne pepper and water, so he gave me some before the game.
Bet payoff right here, boys.
Felt pretty good, but I've been kind of gassing him up. That's why I'm feeling so good. I'm not sure how much that's playing a factor. I mean, if you took it before the game, see how that game went. I don't know how that's giving you the fountain of youth.
Probably
shouldn't take it again.
He's not going full Russell Wilson. It's curing concussions, though, right?
No.
He's just, but,
yeah,
but he
well,
is,
but it does help.
But it
with,
is a fountain of youth. I think I'd take that over the concussion cure, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a real fountain of youth. Somebody forgot to tell his ability to throw on the run, though.
Still didn't look any good. But I guess cayenne pepper is thought to have several potential benefits, including helping with metabolic.
Yeah, it makes your food taste damn good.
So, it's pretty awesome. Like if you go pig out for a week or something like that, you know, you've had a bad diet and you want to cleanse the system.
Yeah,
get you some cayenne pepper. Some maple syrup, some lemon juice,
turmeric maybe.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I've never had it that way, but yeah, it'll flush you out. You know, don't have anything to do that day.
Tikka masala.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, get you some soft Charmin tissue. You know what I'm saying? Don't get cheap stuff that day.
You'll be ready to go.
Yeah,
cleanse.
It's like eating a whole sleeve of those Metamucil fibers.
Yeah, it's gonna run right through you, bro.
Ooh.
Oh boy. Panthers are going to start Bryce Young again, second straight week. Dalton will be available as the backup.
Don't think about the score. Go out there and just have fun.
Go out there and let Bryce cook.
I was just thinking about the bet payoffs, like a full box or whatever of Metamucil Fiber Thins during a show.
I was thinking, how about X-Lax brownies, maybe?
Dangerous. Dangerous.
Chocolate X-Lax brownies.
We can make better brownies than that.
So we're at Target yesterday morning, and I'm trucking around with 3-year-old Remy, and she goes, "Dad, let's get some donuts because you ate all of them last time."
Oh no!
And I'm like, "Okay, you're right." And knowing fully the whole time I was going to eat every donut in that bag, which I did last night.
Nice.
But in the process of making it, I had a new invention: the French donut. Okay, you take the little powdered donuts, you get a little frying pan out, you lay them all out like you're making those little Pillsbury cinnamon rolls in a pan.
What? Mm.
Then you get your French toast. Custard going with your eggs,
pour that
over the top.
Oh, my gosh.
Damn.
Dude, the donuts, they turn into like this warm sort of perfect
cake. Sounds like bread pudding.
Cake.
Yeah, this sounds absolutely delicious.
You know what?
Like, it sounds like a version of bread pudding, but even better.
Oh, wow.
But even better.
Yeah. It was the best thing I've had in a while.
That's amazing.
Did you do it as a mistake, or did you have an intent?
He was hanging with Mad Dog.
I was making some French toast for like a pre-bed snack, and so I had the pan out there, and I was munching on the donuts, and I said, "Hey, let me try this."
Yeah,
that's good.
That's fantastic,
dude.
Delicious.
Thank you. Nice work.
Last thing, Jets are going to debut a new kicker tomorrow night. Greg
Sirlein, that guy's awful.
No good. The team worked out Riley Patterson and Spencer Schrader. They signed both. So they're going to start one tomorrow. Other one's on the practice squad. I guess if the guy sucks that they start, they'll just try the other one out. But either way, new kicker for the Jets, Jets. Maybe he'll kick during.
I saw there was some stat about like if the Jets had just made all of their field goals this season, how much. At least two more.
Unbelievable.
We're live at Whataburger in Grand Prairie. Flagtober 2024 is drawing to a conclusion. We handed out over 100 flags in the first hour of the show, and they are goners. Wolchuk, coming up next, we have one of the biggest needs for the Cowboys with the deadline approaching. That's next year in the nation. All right, welcome back, G-Back Nation. We are live at Whataburger in Grand Prairie, the final stop of Flagtober 2024, where we exhausted our supply of flags in the first hour of the show. Over 100 flags went out the door, and salute to all the Tolos for making this part of your day and for loving Whataburger as much as we do. Okay, what are the biggest needs for the Cowboys as the deadline approaches? We're going to talk about that. We are also probably going to be joined by Jane Slater here in the next couple of minutes. She was in the Cowboys locker room today as Trayvon Diggs apologized to Mike Leslie. Said he just maybe a little caught up in the moment, emotional, you know, post-game losing and all that. It was close finish. And then he gave him a fresh jar of nuts as a birthday, sort of extending the D's Nuts olive branch, if you will. So that's a funny story. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. Okay, the segment of the nation is also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. We're going to start over here in the Athletic with John Machota's piece here, 5 Biggest Needs. What do you think the biggest needs are? Text in 877-881-1053. Leave your name and city you're texting from. He begins with a quote from Michael Irvin, who summed it up when he was stopped by a TMZ photographer on Monday. Looks bad right now. The only hope the Cowboys really have right now is some kind of move is made at the trade deadline. They have to do something. It is bad right now. He was distraught at times Sunday night at Playmakers 88, where I took the game in there up at his bar in the Colony. And I could tell it was hurting him. You know, I believe you called it, what is it, the surrender cobra, where you put both hands behind your head and kind of your head down. And,
oh, he did that?
Yes,
he did.
Now,
that's heartbreaking.
Then he left, you know. I think he couldn't handle it, didn't want to be seen like that by his fans, so he kind of missed the comeback. At least he wasn't out there interacting with his fans for the comeback. So I imagine that must have been a lot of fun, you know, only to, you know, fall short like they did. I love this trade deadline, though, because I think it's a perfect opportunity to make a couple of shrewd moves. You know, maybe you can find a player or two that can help long term. I'm not necessarily interested in saving this season, but if as a result it saves the season, maybe you don't want that, but we know the Jones boys would like that. And to me, that increases the probability. If you could be like, hey, this is a move that helps 25, 26, 27. It's a long-term winning move. And also, maybe we can get back in the division hunt if we make this move. So I think that's the best you can hope for as fans right now. Number one on the list is running back. And Cleveland's Nick Chubb has been mentioned by The Athletic's Mike Jones and Jeff Howe. They discussed the possibility of the Cowboys getting Chubb in exchange for a 2025 third-round pick and a 2025 sixth. Would you guys do it?
Oh, my gosh, no.
Why not?
Unbelievable.
Too much? What would you be willing to give for Nick Chubb?
That I fundamentally wouldn't want anything to do with him, unfortunately. I mean, just at this stage, the off the injury, I'm looking to get cheaper and younger at every turn at that particular position. So unless this is a San Francisco 49ers, one player away, Christian McCaffrey, we know the role for him, we have a great plan for him, and we are going to use him and max him out, and we are contending this season, that's a different deal. But for this team, it makes no sense. It's insane.
Nick Chubb, 28 years old. Maybe if you take away the third and just be like, can we get a sixth?
Yeah.
You know, Cleveland might have teams. But when healthy, he's been over five machine.
No, he's been one of the best backs in the NFL during the course of his career. And he split time even in college. So it's not like, you know, he's a guy that's totally worn down. But, yeah, the injury was catastrophic. He's come back and looked pretty good. But, yeah, I think it'd have to be a day three pick to get me to consider that.
1,265 total career attempts there for Nick Chubb, just 27 this year, and an average of 2.7, so might be washed up a little bit there. Upgrade at defensive tackle would be amazing. How big of a disappointment is Mozzie Smith? We're all very aware of that. Obviously, letting Michael Hankins go didn't help, and Osa Digizua was lack of breakout into significantly more than what he is. Obviously, you know, leaves defensive tackle is one of the biggest needs on the team.
That position right there, it started really with started at training camp, and it just never got better. And Mozzie had the one game against the Giants where he looked like that maybe he'd turned the corner, and then next thing you know, though, it's back to some of the play where he's too high, he's getting knocked off the ball, you know, not playing square. And, you know, it's been a struggle. And it's just not him, but you were expecting this is a contract year for Osa Digizua, and they needed him last week to kind of play well against the matchup that he had, and he just wasn't up the field like he, you know, needs to be. And, you know, it's been a struggle. That one technique, the three technique, is that's a position that's kind of held him hostage a little bit this year.
Yeah, you know, in order to, if they want to make it work with Mike Zimmer, I would feel like that would be a big priority.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to stop the run and free up those safeties until you get this position.
You lose to Atlanta, there's probably nothing they're going to do. You know, I mean, just keep the powder dry, as the old our old GM buddy at the, you know, the Mavs used to say, and Donnie Nelson, and, you know, and fight for another day, because, like I said, when we get into draft coverage, I promise you we're going to be talking about not just one position. We're talking about a lot of positions.
I think that's exactly for me.
And that's the problem. One trade might not help you.
Well, it's helping you check something off of the need box.
Yeah.
That's my whole thing with this. I don't think any of these trades are going to necessarily change the course of your season. But they've got to do something because they've got so many damn holes, and they can't fix all of it in the draft. Hmm. Every answer is, we'll draft a running back. We'll go get a defensive tackle. Oh, you can't fill all of these needs. Hmm. You have to go and address it via trade or in free agency, and they don't play ball in free agency. Mm-hmm. So this might be their best avenue to go out and do it. Yeah. And I just find it, I can't complain about them not being aggressive and making moves outside of the draft and then say, no, I don't want you to give up anything to get a player. If you've got somebody that you can go get that's going to help you at defensive tackle, at end, at corner, at receiver, at running back, at offensive line, you name the position, I'd love them to go and do it. But it's got to be somebody that can help you this year and at least next year.
Okay, what if and you just answer my question, because I was going to throw the rental part out.
No, it's got to be under control, right? Because then I can check it off for next year. Yeah. I've at least addressed that, and it's off the board.
This is where somebody will hold you up then. You know, for a rental, they'll maybe give them to you for a bag of balls. But if it's somebody of significance that you can control, they're going to hold you up. It's and that's fine. And if you're willing to give up a three or a four to do something like that, fine.
And I think I would, because I'm going to have, what, 4 fifth rounders? So yeah. I've got the ability to maybe use one of those extra fives, move up in the draft.
Yeah.
They've got to find a way to get more creative with their roster building right now, because the draft, it's not going to get it done.
No, especially if they want anything resembling a quick turnaround. Like, if you just stay draft and develop, you're looking at multiple seasons.
I think a bigger problem is second contracts.
That has been.
Yeah.
The drafting part of it is fine. It's identifying the second contract.
Yeah.
It's been a kick in the junk for these guys.
And that's a good segue in number three on this list from The Athletic, top five Cowboys needs with the trade deadline around the corner. I believe it's Tuesday. Offensive line help. I think this is one that probably waits until the offseason is firing, acquiring different players, because you want to play your young guys, you know, and you want to, you know, probably not going to make a trade for anybody that can help. But what if you were able to find a trade partner with Terrence Steele and you could move off of this contract? And, you know, is there a contender out there that needs offensive line so much that they'd be willing to give you a day two pick? That might be a pipe dream, but just getting off the contract, I think, would be a blessing and opening up the spot to maybe draft a right tackle or send a guy out there.
Yeah, if things go really, really south, then you need to walk in there. And this is unfortunate for a coaching staff that's on a last year of all their deals. You know, as a front office, you could go in there and say, hey, I'd like to see some Richards this week. Hey, by the way, I'd like to see you put Tyler Smith at left tackle, Awesome Richards at guard, and now we're going to play, you know, we're going to play Guyton at right tackle. You know, so that's, you know, that's the problem you run into right now, is that, you know, you got coaches looking at you like, we're fighting for our jobs here, you know, and you want me to shuffle a bunch of guys around. But this is to your point about looking at finding out if, you know, with Bass, finding out with Awesome Richards, well, let's go. I know he's been inactive every single week. I'm not asking him to play. I kind of have a feeling the type of player, but I'd sure like to know about Awesome Richards. If this season, if you've got 6-7 straight losses, I need to find out about him playing a little bit.
Yeah, if there's a team that wants Steele, sign me up.
Oh, I'd be all over that. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a pretty good chance, as much as he's flawed, that he would be a significant upgrade for a lot of teams, just because it's hard to find anything resembling sufficient. Number four is pass catcher. And, you know, this might be your opportunity. You know, it's going to be tough to find a guy who's still on his rookie deal. But I think you got to really stay on the lookout for it. Has Tolbert or Brooks or Turpin, anybody on this team, showed that you're going to be able to depend on them in the future as a 2-3 option? No,
I mean,
4-5 is the best.
I was hoping for Tolbert. And I right now, I mean, you know, he made a nice play the other day coming back for the ball, but and he helped you win a game. I mean, with the Pittsburgh game, he was outstanding. And, you know, they just need to find some more consistency opposite Lamb, and they just haven't.
Number five is safety, and it is incredible, guys.
Yeah.
Donovan Wilson is the team's highest graded safety at Pro Football Focus at number 65. And that hurts to look at. It's crazy how much of an asset we figured they had when it was Curse, Wilson, and Hooker just a couple of years ago. But wheels came off that one in a hurry. Okay, we're live at Whataburger here, 161 in Grand Prairie, right next to Walmart. We ran out real quick at GBAC Nation flags. It's the closing ceremonies of Flagtober 2024. Congrats to everybody that picked theirs up. Your next opportunity will be Flagtober 2025, the last weekend of September. We'll kick off the Tour de DFW. And coming up next, we'll get into Krusty's Corner. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, I've got some thoughts about this Atlanta Falcons offense. We'll do that next.
Well, thank you, Lucius. Thanks to Whataburger here in Grand Prairie for having us out, 2630 South State Highway. Come get something to eat and drink. We did run out of GBAC Nation flags. Thank you to them, Southern Leisure Spas and Patio, for sponsoring Flagtober 2024. Until next September, your chance to pick up the flag has expired. So thanks to everybody who did that. We'd love to see pictures on social media. You want to plant that flag in a man cave, garage. Maybe I got one at the Leaning Tower of Dallas 4 or 5 years ago. Remember that when they tried to detonate
it?
That?
Yes, I remember you did that.
Yeah. That stayed forever.
Yeah, it was
insane
yeah.
how long that thing was there.
Time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by.
That's what that demolition crew was saying too, by the way.
Yeah. Just fall. Just fall.
After they signed that contract, like, damn, come on, man.
What the hell?
Somebody push it over.
Gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Salute to Reliant Air Conditioning. Here's the King, Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. Thanks to Reliant. And by the way, thanks to Whataburger as well. It was
It
was a great tour. Had a lot of fun. Met a lot of really nice people. Tolos at the various Whataburgers we were at. Just such friendly people at this place. I could see why. The food, the friendly people, all that. It's just a great place to hang out, and it's kind of come to an end. Kind of sad in that way, you know.
They're the best.
It's like I said, it's a beautiful flag. God, it's a beautiful flag. All right, I'm going to talk about these Atlanta Falcons, and I teased this. These Falcons, there's some things that you can take advantage of, and there's things they're going to take advantage of you on. So just get ready for that offensively. It really does come down to their personnel, and, you know, they do a great job of playing in the 11 personnel. That's the three wide receivers, the one tight end. They've scored 18 of their 19 touchdowns playing in 11 personnel. So that's kind of that's the way that they're going to operate. They're going to play some 12 personnel on you. That's the one back with the two tight ends. But they got a sneaky good group too that they play in. That's called the 21 with the two running backs and then the one tight end is what they play. So They're in a situation right now where they'll mix in some of their personnel groups in, but like I say, a lot of it's going to be 11 personnel is what you're going to see. Kirk Cousins, we all kind of understand who Kirk Cousins is. We've seen him in Minnesota. We've seen him with the Commanders, but I think he's kind of found himself here again with the Falcons because of the personnel groups that they have. They have an effective running game with the two backs. They've got some wide receivers that are probably not household names, but they do a pretty good job of working the middle of the field. This is an area we've talked about a bunch this year for the Cowboys. Wouldn't be surprised. I know I asked my guys this question yesterday. Do you expect maybe some changes at safety? Maybe as the week goes on, we'll start to hear more of that. But Kirk Cousins is really, really effective when he can throw the ball down the seams, down the middle of the field. That's where he likes to work. He's like 80% of his passes are going to go to the middle of the field. That's where he likes to attack. He's going to take advantage of your safety play if it's not going to be good for you. So, you know, this is where the Cowboys have got to be really, really aware about him. It's rare you find him outside the pocket. He's going to stand in the middle of the pocket. It's when it comes to his throws, it's always just going to be that type of that. You know, he's going to deliver the ball, be right in the middle of it. You got to find a way. He's not going to be running around, and, you know, you've dealt with some quarterbacks that will do that. But you're going to know exactly where he is. You're going to know exactly where you need to rush. You know, now you got to find a way to get home on that. And Dallas has had some problems with that. Cousins, he's been sacked 14 times this season without a blitz. You know, there's only been one time that he's been sacked with a blitz. And so this is where, you know, opponents have been able to kind of get some pressure on him. The more pressure you put on him, the more prone he is to mistakes. Six of his interceptions have come when opponents have gotten to him. I went back and watched all his interceptions that he's had. When people have attacked him, standing there in the middle of the pocket, ball will come out of his hand at a funny angle. He'll try and make a throw as he's being hit, get knocked off balance, ball ends up being an interception. So if you can find a way to get pressure on him in the middle of the pocket, you know, you have to be able to do that, because if you look at the metrics will tell you 12 of his touchdowns this year have come with no pressure at all. So pressure affects the way that he likes to play. His favorite routes, when he could throw a hitch, an out or flat, a screen, and a go. These are the ones that he's thrown the most this season. So if you're the Cowboys secondary, we think about those in-breaking routes. It's not so much we've seen the last couple of weeks. It's been all about the crossing routes. But these guys will go up the field. They'll curl back to the inside, or they'll run the out. And you can kind of – that's how these wide receivers like to work. Where Cousins has had some success is he's also had some success with the corner routes and the post routes too. So those are the down-the-field throws. So we'll see if they take a page out of Detroit's book, out of 49ers book, and put some of these crossing routes in there. So when he tends to throw interceptions, it's generally in the middle of the field, like we said. That's when he's forcing the ball. And it, like I say, it'll sail out of his hand sometimes when he gets hit.
And as you mentioned, with him under pressure, he's thrown 7 picks this year.
Yeah.
6 of those 7 are when pressured.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's With London, the receiver, is going to run the majority of his routes. He's the primary guy for Atlanta. Most of his receptions have come from the slot. Moody, the other receiver, is going to run the majority of his routes from the outside. He's number one. So, you know, you've got London is going to play in the slot and run routes there. He's got 27 receptions from the slot. Moody will play on the outside. He's got 21 from the outside. You got to be ready for Moody to be running out of the backfield. Now, they saw this last week. What did Deebo Samuel do? They got a wheel route on the Cowboys out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. So they've used Moody in the backfield and thrown him the ball four different times, lining him up there. I could see them, Zach Robinson, I could see him saying, oh, wow, Dallas can't cover. They put a linebacker on a wide receiver coming out of the backfield. I would keep an eye on that one for sure. These backs are outstanding. When you talk about Robinson and Algier, together they've rushed for 898 yards. They've got five touchdowns. They've had 23 runs together of 10 yards or more this season.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah, where Robinson.
How many the Cowboys have had three?
Yeah, it's
true. They haven't had a single rush of 20 yards.
Yeah, it's been.
Their
it's
long
been,
rush, I think, is 15 yards.
Terrible.
I know
terrible.
Zeke's long is 11.
Yeah. The Cowboys, like I say, with Robinson, he does most of his damage running to the left side. You watch the tape and you're thinking like, oh, right-handed quarterback, right-handed team. Now, Robinson, when he attacks the left side of the formation, that's kind of been where he's averaging almost 5.5 yards of carry over there with the three touchdowns. Algier, on the other hand, likes to run to the right side. So, you know, you got two guys that kind of when they're in there, you know, one kind of a little bit better going to his left, one a little bit better going to his right. But these guys have had tremendous success catching the football. Between them, I think there's two drops.
Wow.
You know, I mean.
That was the thing. Robinson was a nasty route runner,
no doubt,
and pass catcher.
Two incompletions.
Wow. Two incompletions.
I mean,
well, okay. And Kirk Cousins is one of the check down monsters
flat,
right now.
To the flat, these guys wheel. They get them to the outside and throw them the football. I worry about this game more so of them throwing the football to these guys and Dallas not rallying up, tackling in space, you know, missing tackles in the open field. Now, where teams have had a really success against these two guys, it's playing with a stacked box. And here I am talking about stacked boxes again. I'm looking at them like, wow, it looks like, you know, I'm taking, give me all the runs where they get stuffed, with a stuffed, no gain, negative plays. Eight-man box is what this has. Dallas has had trouble with eight-man box. Robinson's only averaged 2.6 yards a carry against stacked box. Algier on the other side, 2.7. So eight men in the box has given Atlanta problems. Dallas just hasn't played well enough with eight men in the box.
Yeah, this will be a get-right game for those numbers for those guys.
You got to hope that Dallas somehow figures out if they do play the eight-man box. Now, I'll say this about these receivers, too. Their numbers are completely different when it comes to press coverage and off coverage. They struggle when their numbers are dramatically different when it goes when you play press coverage. Dallas plays a lot of zone. If I'm Mike Zimmer, I change out my safeties. I play some press coverage on the outside, and I'm going to keep the eight-man box stuff. I'm just going to try my best to see if I can hold up. We talk about their tight end Pitts. He's been a monster since Cousins has arrived on the scene. He's got rare combination of height, athletic ability. He's made him a big time weapon. He's with Cousins' willingness to throw up the seams has made this made him a better player. The Cowboys secondary are going to have their hands full defending this guy because of the height, of the athletic ability. I've talked about this before. I would consider putting Mukwamu on him. I would situation, go with a little length, go with a little height, try and run with him, try to deter him. Mukwamu is crazy. I mean, he gets into it. He gets into the game. This might be a good opportunity for him to play with a little length, a little height, and handle that. This offensive line is solid. They're not the type that are going to blow you off the line of scrimmage. They kind of allow their backs to – they get in their blocks, allow the backs to read and make a cut. They do a good job of staying on their feet. Where the pressures have been over Matthews, the left tackle, Lindstrom, the right guard. They'll leave their offensive tackles singled up most of the time in pass protections. You know, you got to try and take advantage of those. But like I say, Matthews, the left tackle, Lindstrom and the right guard are the ones that have had the most problems. They do have multiple players on their offensive line, though, that have allowed three sacks. So it's kind of like coming like the Cowboys have a couple guys. They've got three, four guys. It's Matthews, Bergeron, and McGarry have allowed three sacks this year. So just a little bit of a side note like that, too. Each one of these running backs, Robinson and Algiers, have also allowed sacks. So if this turns into some pass protection, you know, you get a back, you know, I'm all about, and I said this earlier in the show, I'm all about maybe putting Overshown in there as a rusher. Like, no more. I'm not going to play off ball linebacker, spy dude, whatever that was you were doing last week.
You're just going to line him up on the edge?
I'm lining him up on the edge, and I'm going to say, you just run and go and move him around. If you want to rush one time against Matthews, if you want to rush on the other side against McGarry, maybe just find a spot in if you could get something going. He's the one guy that when you saw that, how he was able to close down, his burst could give one of these tackles problems. If you just say, hey, run his. If you're going to have a quarterback that's just going to stand in the middle of the pocket, just go ahead and make a run at him right off the edge there and see if you can get home. And maybe if you don't get home, it affects
you rush a throw.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an incompletion. Maybe, and that's something we heard about him that – now, that was Dan Quinn, the previous regime, but they might try him out and do last year, but unfortunately he got hurt.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. I think that's something that maybe – a lot of things you could try and do in this football game, but this is a pretty good offense you're having to deal with.
Hey, Tinker, that would be exciting if Overshown could break out as a pass rusher for the future of this defense. That would be exactly what you need.
And if McQuamu could be a tight end eraser all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Renaissance? Mm.
I like what Brian's got cooking over there.
I'm trying.
The defensive coaches are listening once again.
Yeah.
Okay. NFL on Fox, David Hellman is going to join us, and we'll talk football with him next here in the G-Bag Nation.